This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the show, Kate Delaney. If you've never been here before, well, welcome. And if you've been here a long time, we appreciate you. All right, speaking of being somewhere, anywhere, wow, summer has turned into chaos when it comes to travel, partially because of some of the travel alerts for places that a lot of people wanted to travel to just get away on some beach because there were great deals. The other thing is what's happening with some of the airlines, all the flights that have been canceled. And then there were, of course, some other things that happened to people along the way, like, oh, yeah, the Delta variant. And speaking of that, you know, there was just this poll that was done. I dug it up. You know how I am the fan of the poll, which I know can slant in lots of different directions, but for what it's worth, here's my two cents on this poll. There's a poll that came out last week, and this poll was from the Kaiser Family Foundation. They do some pretty good polling. And despite the risk of the Delta variant and what it poses to the unvaccinated, you know what? It's the people who are vaccinated against COVID-19 who are a little more concerned about this contagious version, which I'm not surprised by based on my conversations with my friends who have friends who don't want to get vaccinated, who have other friends who are vaccinated. And this is what the world has become. Vaccinated, unvaccinated. I say this all the time on the show, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it is. I say it's the buzz in your backyard and mine. Well, you're having this conversation too. So vaccinated adults are nearly twice as likely to worry that new variants like Delta are going to worsen the pandemic nationally and locally. And why? They don't want to die. They don't want to see friends get sick. They don't want to see the economy tank. A lot of them own businesses. They employ people. So about 4 out of 10 vaccinated adults. Now, this again is according to this poll from the Kaiser family. Foundation worry they personally will get sick compared to 27% of unvaccinated adults. And the vaccinated are more likely than the unvaccinated to say they wear masks at work, in grocery stores, indoor places, crowded outdoor settings. Now, this was just a telephone survey of a slightly over 1,500 adults, and it was conducted a couple of weeks ago. And, of course, this was on the heels of the CDC saying people should mask up indoors and in areas with levels of COVID-19, you know, substantial levels of COVID-19 transmission, meaning some of the counties, some of the states, some of the areas where we know the hospitalization is high and the amount of cases are high. So that has triggered that. There are people that are following that. And then, of course, there are people that aren't following it. So like I said, it's the yin and the yang. Three-fourths of unvaccinated adults, three-fourths, think of that number, say they're not worried about getting seriously sick. And just a narrow majority say the vaccine is a bigger health risk than the coronavirus itself. And I still think there's concerns about the side effects because of hearing of the blood clotting, because of hearing of some of the things that have happened to people, and just simply not wanting to be told that you have to get a vaccination. And then I know there's other reasons for that too. So it's no surprise that also the public is split over whether the feds should recommend employer mandates, you know, having their workers get vaccinated. 51% in this Kaiser poll said they should, 45% said they shouldn't, 16% of unvaccinated adults in the federal government say the federal government should weigh in compared with 68% of vaccinated adults who would like to see the recommendation. You know, because part of this is also the fact that you have, like, New York City saying last week that vaccinations are going to be required for indoor venues, restaurants, bars, theaters, gyms, they're going to card you. I'm getting carded again. Are you getting carded again? You'd get carded where you have to show proof of a vaccination. Now, in Texas, the governor, a Republican, much different, his point of view, he's prohibiting local officials from requiring face masks and from mandating vaccines. That is not helping. And, of course, that's also drawing the ire of the president, who says if you're not going to help, at least get out of the way for people who are trying to do the right thing. So, I mean, this is the world we live in. Like I said, we don't sugarcoat it here. Here it is. You decide. I don't understand not getting vaccinated unless you're a pregnant woman or you have something severe, so severe that we know the reaction's not good. We know that's not going to work. And trust me, people do fall into that, category. I mean, I want you all to live. I want the economy to thrive. I want to get beyond talking about this bloody virus. I mean, how long has it been? All right, because it's been so long since people have been able to travel, people want to travel. And American Airlines, Spirit Airlines, they've canceled so many flights. Last week, they canceled 800 flights. And it was day after day of consecutive travel nightmares for airline passengers. I mean, Americans still trying to recover from storms that happened in Dallas over a week ago where they had 12% of their schedule wiped out and having to cancel. Same thing with Spirit. They've had to cancel so many of their flights. I mean, a staggering 60% just last week on Tuesday. Crazy. So they're trying to reset operations, that they're working around the clock to mitigate the travel disruptions caused because of this overlapping operational challenges like the weather, system outages, staffing shortages. I mean, that's chaos, right? So it is chaos. It is chaos. When you got people sleeping in the airport, when you get people getting $7 meal vouchers, when customers are calling and they just get hung up on and you can't get home, that's not good. So I think if you have a flight, you got to really think about what you're doing, where you're going, and can you get there? And depending on how soon it is, too. And, of course, we're always going to have weather problems. There's always the possibility of that. But when you mix it with several other potential disasters, like, you know, with the staffing shortages, like I said, or you have some kind of operational flub, you know, something happens with the computers, then you just forget about it. All right, you want some good news? I want to give you some good news. National parks. I love national parks. In the pandemic, the one thing that I discovered or rediscovered was my love for kind of doing the light hike. Like, you're not going to catch me hiking the Himalayas. That time has passed for me. I'm not going up Kilimanjaro. Like, no way. But the light hike, I call it the light hike, where you can just have fun and see the beauty that the U.S. has to offer, because we have some incredible national parks. So I just found this out. There are two times when the National Park Service is going to offer free admission to all 423 sites. And one of those days just came and passed. And so entrance fees were waived at the monuments, National Monuments, cool. Because remember those areas, National Recreation areas, national seashores, battlefields, all that stuff. So it all counts, which is so, 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 so great. I love it that this is happening, that you've got a couple of times where you can do that, because it makes sense to me. So the Department of Interior has dubbed the one-year anniversary of the signing of the Great American Outdoors Act the days of, you know, coinciding with some free entrance days. So here are the days. August 25th, the National Park Service birthday. September 25th, National Public Land Day. And November 11th, Veterans Day. Woohoo! Take advantage. I just scribbled those down myself. I'm going to do it too. All right, we're headed to the mailbag next. Stay with us.
The There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Once
again, the mailbag is full. Thank you for sending me your thoughts. And remember, you can do it 24-7, whatever's on your mind, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Click on contact and let your thoughts flow. I promise I'll get back to you. All right, let's dive right into it. This one is from Skip, who says, Kate, I am a lifelong card-carrying Republican. I am very conservative in nature, but I have to tell you, some of what I've seen in the country, the intolerance, the haters, the nastiness, really, really irks me, and I hate to be identified with any group of people that think that it's okay to do that. To have a difference of opinion, to be very, very solid in what you believe is one thing, but it's another to do some of what we've seen happen starting with the beginning of January. I just read where last week that federal judge rejected the argument in the rioters that were held in jail being prosecuted for political views, and then said that the whole attempts to downplay the magnitude of the deadly insurrection was, you know, you called yourself and everyone else patriots, but that's not patriotism, I believe, is what the judge said. It stuck with me so much I wrote it and put it in my wallet. Patriotism, she said, is loyalty to country, loyalty to the Constitution, not loyalty to a head of state. That is the tyranny we rejected on July 4th. So I have to say that whoever said it, whether it was the judge, because I might be confusing myself, I think it was the judge who said that was pretty smart, because I agree. It's about country. It's about Constitution. That's what the 4th of July is all about. You certainly would know that as you talk about growing up outside of Philadelphia and the importance of the Declaration of Independence and how that stuck with you. You saying that on the air stuck with me and made you stick with your show. So I just wanted to tell you that I'm not changing my conservative beliefs, but I do not believe in what some people are calling patriotism. The 6th was a disgrace. It was despicable. People were hurt. People were emotionally damaged, and families were ruined thanks to a riotous, raucous group of emboldened people, and it's just unthinkable. All right, well, Skip, you know what? I agree with you. I think you can be steadfast in your beliefs and not agree when people go off and veer off in a different direction and the branch breaks. And the branch broke on the 6th. I mean, seriously, anybody listening to me, do you not think that happened? That it was okay to watch all that destruction? It is, again, one thing to protest, to be furious, to be frustrated, to have serious beliefs and think that, even if you thought the election was stolen. So it's one thing to back that, to believe that. It's another thing to go after fellow human beings, fellow Americans. And, yeah, and we're seeing how it's playing out. And so I think the judge, and I know what you're talking about, because that's exactly what was said. It was Judge Amy Berman who said that. Amy Berman. She talked about patriotism is loyalty to country, loyalty to the Constitution, not loyalty to a head of state. And that's the tyranny that we rejected on July 4th. And, yeah, I mean, we'll see how all these sentences are handed down and what happens with a lot of these other rioters. I think some of them had no idea that, you know, they just got involved in the melee and had no idea that it was going to turn into what it turned into. But guess what? They're there and they're all over Instagram and TikTok and everything else, and people were turning them in. So that's what I'm curious about, how those sentences all end up rolling out. All right, let's go to Mac, who's listening to us in New Orleans, and he says, Kate, I love when you reach out and I feel like you verbally hug Louisiana. And I have to tell you, it's been rough, girl, in Baton Rouge. I got a brother and a sister-in-law there, and they're talking about cases and fears of the Delta variant and arguments over vaccines. And I think more in their neighborhood and their community are starting to get vaccinated. There was more of a fear, from what I understand from them, of the whole side effects. Anytime the side effects were amplified, where somebody talked about somebody got a blood clot or people died in England or whatever happened, it got, I think, magnified and mangled, kind of like the telephone game, and those numbers became greatly exaggerated. And yes, there were some terrible things that happened, but really low if you look at the overall death count. And of course, one is too many, but it was enough to scare, I think, some people who aren't conspiracy theorists, who just flat out didn't like what they saw and were afraid of what the side effects would be. So I would implore everyone to get a vaccine. I didn't initially want to get a vaccine. I didn't want to do the whole mask thing, but I certainly have come on board, and I want to live my life, and I want my children to live their life, and I want to be able to walk outside. I want to be able to sit in the cafe. I want to be able to enjoy the music that we have in our great state and take those trips around the state to different parishes and not feel like I could end up in the hospital. So that's why I made the move to do what I think is the right thing. People, let's kill this variant and get on with it. Touche. I'm with you. I mean, let's kill the variant. Let's get out of this. Let's get to herd immunity. Let's do what is necessary so that our conversations aren't focused on this. And, you know, there's always I call it the ugly wow factor, where somebody has a story that you're not going to believe what happened, and it's horrific, and they talk about somebody who was completely healthy and they died and they didn't get a vaccine, or some other crazy twisted tale of what happened to somebody who's young and that shouldn't have happened. And there truly are those stories. And this is so much of a chunk of what life has centered on for people, is trying to avoid the fallout of this and not be a casualty and not have people that you love be a casualty. I mean, you know, you just have to think, whether it's children, friends, or family, the thought of never seeing them again is just, I think, to me, utterly devastating to people that I care about. I just cannot imagine that. Can't imagine it. All right, let's move on to another one. Joseph, listening to us in the great state of West Virginia. I always think of my cousin when I think of West Virginia because he went to school there and we got to spend a lot of time together. And there's some great music in West Virginia, too, and some great grub there. But Joseph's not talking about that. So he says, "Hey, Kate, I started listening to your show, probably about 4 or 5 months ago. I caught it when I was on a night shift. And I love the way you talk about other things. I love your mic drop moments. I keep thinking I'm going to send you a couple. In my own life, I have some crazy mic drop moments that I think people can relate to. So I'll do that probably next week." And I wasn't watching the Olympics until I heard a little bit of what you were saying about the Olympics and some of the great stories of some of the American athletes. I guess it is the story behind the story. So what it took to get to that place where they are either 17 and coming from Alaska and swimming their guts out in the pool for America, or whether they were raised by a family they were adopted into and how that family took to them and what they were able to do, or even Simone Biles and the fact that she created so much conversation and controversy over stepping away and finishing off one event with a bronze when she knew she mentally wasn't right. And I have to say, I felt something about her saying that. I felt that she was unfairly kind of pounded in some opinion pieces for stepping away. I mean, if she doesn't feel right, she doesn't feel right. And yes, there have been more athletes that have done that, and we've seen that lately. But you think of the high level of competition, you think of the fact that if you get that thing in your head where you almost can't land and you could severely hurt yourself or even kill yourself in some of these feats that these gymnasts do, she did the right thing. And hey, other Americans won gold medals. America still becomes a winner because of what Simone Biles decided to do, which was the right thing. I mean, for goodness sake, if she just tried to push through it and finished not qualifying half the time or finished way out of the medals, what good does that do anyway? Well, there you go. Touche, right? What good does that do anyway if she doesn't honestly say, "I can't do this," and then cheers everybody on? She's there. She's cheering people on. She's answering questions. She's not shying away from it. She's saying that things were triggered because, you know, people talk about triggers. Things were triggered, and she lost it where she was in her head. And then, you know, she ends up finishing off with a bronze medal. So, you know, again, she is one of our most decorated athletes. She still is a GOAT. She still is one of the greatest of all time. And I think we have to remember that. All right, let's close it with somebody overseas. We got a lot of people listening to us now, I think because of our high-impact authors and highlighting people's stories and great books out there, interesting books, whether it's somebody in London or the UK, I mean, or Australia or Ireland or someplace else. And this one is from Sherry, and she says, "Kate, thank you so much for bringing us the stories of people who would otherwise not be known. I've actually dove into a couple of the books of some of the authors that you've featured, and I have to say I quite enjoy them. I'm going to send you another email with my reviews that you could read on the air, perhaps." I like that. Thank you for that. All right, KateDelaneyRadio.com. You can send me an email anytime, day or night.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6 and should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbvie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The CDC is advising travelers to avoid France, Israel, and several other countries as COVID cases rise in those destinations. France and Israel join Aruba, Iceland, Thailand, Eswatini, and French Polynesia as the latest destinations moved to the very high level, meaning they've had more than 500 cases per 100,000 residents in the last 28 days. The CDC added another 16 destinations to the very high-risk category last week, including Greece and Ireland. And a federal judge says that she doubts the legality of the White House's latest eviction moratorium, but may not have the power to change it. U.S. District Judge Dabney Friedrich made the comments in the case of a group of Alabama landlords seeking an injunction against the CDC's moratorium on evictions in counties with high or substantial transmission of COVID. Judge Friedrich had declared in May that the CDC did not have the authority to order a pause on evictions. She said she would issue a ruling on the latest moratorium soon. You're listening to USA Radio News. There are worries that an influx of illegal migrants being released into the U.S. are worsening a surge in COVID-19 cases. Tim Berg has more.
As the surge of illegal immigrants at the southern border continues, local officials are concerned they're spreading COVID-19 to border communities. Border Patrol Union Vice President Chris Cabrera joins Fox News and says many illegal immigrants are leaving their facilities and don't know if they have COVID.
As far as Border Patrol goes, it's very rare we test anyone. The only time somebody gets tested in our custody is if they're showing signs and symptoms or they have some other medical emergency. So very few get tested in Border Patrol custody.
Cabrera adding that Health and Human Services does test some illegal immigrants.
And Texas Governor Greg Abbott has asked hospitals in his state to forego elective surgeries to open more capacity for COVID-19 patients. He's also ordering the State Division of Emergency Management to open more antibody infusion centers to treat COVID patients whose cases do not require hospitalization. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Joins us now. She's written a book that I think is so incredibly relevant, powerful, heartfelt, empowering, and will help so many people. It's called Unbridled Gifts. Carolyn, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
You're welcome, Kate.
Let's talk about your background. I do want to mention that you're a therapist and a social worker.
Yes, I'm a therapist and social worker. I've been in the field for 30 years. I started out as a psychology associate, and basically I had my master's in school psychology and did testing and assessment of children with developmental disorders ADHD, personality disorders. And I did that for over 10 years. And then I jumped into social work, and I've been a counselor, an individual therapy counselor ever since.
Since then. Let's talk about the book and your road to writing the book. What made you decide, hey, I'm going to tell my story, I'm going to write this book?
Well, when I was raising my children, I'm an avid book reader. I love books. My children, there wasn't any books out there. I learned best by looking at, I just didn't know anybody who had children who were so rambunctious and high energy and ever ready bunnies. I called them my ever ready bunnies because they never stopped going. They were like the Energizer bunny, and the battery just never dies. So I think I wrote it because I couldn't find anything or anybody who had similar experiences to share. I felt like I was alone on the totem pole, a lone man on the totem pole. I didn't know how to cope with them. I didn't know what I was supposed to be feeling. I ended up feeling between depressed and angry and agitated. They're just wonderful. They had wonderful ways of coming up with things, and their ideas were wonderful, and were so full of life, and they had gusto for life. They were strong-willed, yes, but they were creative and ingenious in several ways. So you had a mixed bag, and I wrote it so people would know or not feel so alone. Kind of give them hope and show them that there is hope and there is sunlight at the end of the tunnel at the other side, that they can come through this.
So let's talk about the kids. What you found out about the kids, that you said they had all this energy, and then they were diagnosed with something that so many parents and so many people are dealing with.
When my oldest was 2, she never slept. I shouldn't say never, but it was maybe an hour or two. And I thought there was something wrong with me, that I was doing something wrong. And she was high energy all day long. And I thought, well, this is just a terrible twos. But when I would go places with her, I couldn't get her to settle down. She was too rambunctious. And people were saying, I didn't discipline them enough. I didn't do this. You know, you should. And I'm thinking, no. And they kept saying how bad a mother I was. And I can't, when you're in the field of psychology and social work, you cannot diagnose your own children. So when she was 5, I had her tested. And the one person saw her. They're very good at, they had excellent verbal skills, but the performance skills were lower. They were still average, but they were lower. They're very bright children. But I think the problem comes in was because their verbal skills were so good, the person testing them didn't see a problem with my daughter. But when you talk to the kindergarten teacher, when you talk to other places she goes, and you in my home, in our home, she was a mess. I mean, just could not sit still, couldn't pay attention. So then finally when she was 7, I took her to a psychiatrist that specialized in children. And they diagnosed her right away with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And then she was very depressed at age 7. And he noticed that she had bipolar disorder tendencies. So they don't usually diagnose them that young. But my other daughter was there at the appointment, and she's running around, and she's, you know, 5 at that time, and he says she's ADHD also. You know, she's clearly on it. So he started them on medication right away because it's not like they were uncontrollable, but it felt that way sometimes. So that's kind of like how it started. And then as my oldest got older, the moods really became really more pronounced. They would go from rapid cycling. One minute she was super happy, full of energy. Anything could be done. She would jump off the roof if she could, but she could fly. She would have these impossible dreams, and they weren't even dreams. She would carry them out. She would think that she didn't have any sense of danger whatsoever. So then I went, we went the medication route with her, and it helped a little bit, but not much. Because she fought it most of the time, and she didn't want to take it. And then she was in a school that didn't believe in medication. The teacher didn't believe in medication, so they didn't give her medication. And then she was failing out of school. So I had to change schools. They were in a private school. My other daughter, we started her on medication, but she said she didn't want to take it anymore. As long as she kept her grades up, I said that was fine. But she was another mood disorder, another bipolar candidate also, that had different tendencies. They would manifest in migraines and in physical ailments. She wasn't really sick, but they were enough that you had to go to the emergency room 100 times. And that was a manifestation when you read about it, that they have these, they're not factitious. That's not what I want to say. They were real because the migraines were real. But she would exhaust herself to exhaustion because she couldn't slow down. She couldn't stop going. And so that would bring on a migraine. So a lot of things brought on because she couldn't stop. She couldn't stop running. She couldn't stop thinking. She couldn't. So that was a different form of the mood disorder. It just expresses itself differently.
Yeah. So in the book Unbridled Gifts, what do you want people to take away from reading it? What will they take away?
I think they'll take away, yes, there's a struggle, but they're unique. And I wanted to highlight the uniqueness, and that's why I named it Unbridled Gifts. Because even, I think there's a pot of gold at the end, but you don't see it right away. And I think the takeaway is how they can come out at the other end of the rainbow. And it's okay. They're adults now. They still have the expressions of them. They're not medicated. They don't see the need to be in treatment. But they're their own unique person, and they've come out and have been successful in their own ways. And I just wanted to give hope to people out there that were maybe losing hope or feeling that the system was failing them. Because sometimes you feel that way, the system is failing you. Especially with schools.
Yeah, and you felt that. I mean, you saw what was happening with you, and yet then that's part of what you share. And that's what I think is so unique, that, hey, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And in the book Unbridled Gifts, it is a gift, because you talk about things in what I call plain speak. You say exactly what happened. And I think too often there's no conversations like this.
No, there aren't any.
And I think that would help people if they had a source, if they knew, hey, other people have gone through this. Carolyn went through this, and look what happened and how her kids came out on the other side. And I think that's a big payoff, and you said it, that they came out on the other side.
They came out, yes.
Yeah. And how's life now for them?
Well, I have a 9-year-old my oldest is a 9-year-old granddaughter. She's another Ready Bunny, but she's not as hyper as I remember her mother was. She's still very busy, but I think they're doing well. She's successful in school. My daughter is successful. She loves children. She's a daycare provider. She just loves young children. And my other daughter is successful also in her career. And she's a high-energy person who doesn't stop going. So she likes the fast-paced job that has you going 1 minute to the next minute. So they've used these gifts that they have in careers that accentuate daughters that don't stay still, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because children don't keep still either.
Right, right. And again, that's the huge payoff with this. Well, once again, Carolyn Lancey, you can get the book on Amazon, Unbridled Gifts. Thanks so much for sharing your story.
You're welcome.
You're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared. And now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Seriously, I have always had a fascination with angels. And Jan Cooper has got a book out called A Conversation with an Angel, A Parable for Today's Time. Jan, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome very much, Kate. I enjoy being here with you, and I've heard so many good things about you.
Oh, thank you for saying that. What made you decide you were going to write this book? What drove you to writing the book?
What drove me to writing about it is, I read a book called Everyman when I was, probably 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. I since have tried to locate that in the libraries again, and I can never find that book again. But I know after reading it, It left behind words of wisdom to help better the future society. And so, anyway, because of different areas and things I've gone through in my life, I just started writing it. I really don't even think I wrote it. I think the Holy Spirit was going through me. And an angel was sent to Earth in a conversation with an angel. God looked down and said, there's so much turmoil going on that planet. I don't know if they can be helped or not. So he called an angel, sent it to Earth to fly around the world, looking to see if it's possible to make this a better, more peaceful world. And as the angel flew around and flew around, he flew back up to the heavens and said, Father, I don't think we can help these people. They yell, they scream, they holler, they fight, they have wars, they have divorces. They're not even nice to people. I just don't think we can. And the angel says, well, you better go around a couple of more times because there's got to be somebody down there. So as the angel kept flying around the world and flying around the world, looking and looking at all the wars and the shootings and the murders, and said, Father, I really do not think we can really help these people. So anyway, the boy flew around again. The angel flew around again, and he spotted about a 15 or a 16-year-old boy on his knee. And the boy said, Father, I'm not sure if you really, really exist. But if you do, will you make me good at something so I don't have to feel so dumb and stupid? Please? Please? And so the angel mentored this young boy into adulthood. And he shows the experiences he had with him and his father. And then that way, pretty soon, over time, his father died. And the angel mentored him with his son growing up. So A Conversation with an Angel is an entertaining type book that will give you the different steps that will help young people, 30, 40, 50-year-old people, and even senior citizens. This took me 40 years to write, and I kept revising it and redoing it to make it entertaining. Because to get a person's attention and to make it very entertaining and keep their attention without using sex and violence is very difficult to do. So that's why it took me 40 years to write. And I believe it has. And what I just found out recently, it's been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, whether that happened or not, I'm not quite sure. But anyway, I just feel good that I got nominated for that. So it took 40 years of writing, and I think I had the possibility of I've been thinking now, because now I have people from different parts of the world letting me know they're interested in a lot of my different books, not just A Conversation with an Angel. But it made me, it felt so good to give birth to it. Because, I mean, I felt like I was pregnant for 40 years, and I don't know what a woman and so, but it just feels good because I never wanted to abort it. I never wanted to abort it, and I never gave up on it. I'm 78 years old now, and I thought I was done with the book when I was in my 30s.
Let me stop you there. It just shows you, like, after 40 years, for anybody listening, to have that conviction, you just, you go back to it, you figure it out, and then you get it out there. For you, in putting it out there and then actually getting a copy of it, what was that like?
Oh, I tell you, when I did my first book signing, I tell you, when I saw a book and a book, I'm starting to get tears in my eyes now just thinking about it.
Yeah.
It was so exciting. It was so exciting. And then in that way, just so exciting to see a dream come true. So I encourage everybody, never, never, ever give up on your dreams, because at any age it can happen. I remember Colonel Chicken I mean, he was 65 before his dream became a reality. And so just never give up. But see, what most people do is they give up on their dream. If it doesn't work in 1 or 2 years or 3 years, they say, oh, no, I don't have what the people want. But you don't give up on it. You just keep going for it, and you have to. Because everybody's dream, it's their life. And we only have one life to live, so never give up on what it is you want to do. I'm enjoying it now because it's out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
you're,
now I'm writing more and more books now.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And, you know,
yeah.
I flunked English 3 times. I shouldn't be writing any books. And here it is. I just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it. And the more you fail and the more you learn from your mistakes, the better your writing gets. I'm also an artist, and so that way when I paint pictures, hey, I've learned. You learn to become an artist and an author by failing and by learning and learning from your mistakes. You got to live in the present. Learn from the past, live in the present, and plan for the future in all cases. So you just keep getting better and better and better. And I want to keep inspiring other people. Don't give up on your dream. It's going to happen. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. That was good. I agree with you. Don't give up on your dream. There is that lesson there, absolutely, for sure. And I think you pretty much told us what you really hope people take away from this and your philosophy on life and the conversation with an angel, a parable for today's time. You can get it wherever great books are sold, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, etc. And Jan Cooper, always a pleasure to have a conversation with you. Thank you. I love your optimistic outlook on life.
Oh, well, thank you. And I love you doing what you're doing. And hopefully one day we'll get to meet. That would be nice.
Yeah, you never know. Thanks, Jan.
Hey, thank you. You take care and have a great, blessed day.
All right. So I think the power of what Jan is saying and you know, how I roll here on the show about the glass is half full. It's pretty tough in these days with what we're getting hit with right and left, etc. And he has that optimism and definitely has the gift of artistic endeavors. As I've seen some of his artwork, is pretty incredible. And the book for the cover for this book is wonderful, where you see the young boy and it's just a, would be like any normal sort of housing development, and you see this angel in the background. And to me, it's always fascinating how you come up with these covers. So I think he definitely nailed it there. And he's talking about how an ordinary kid is called upon and then has this mission to mentor. And how often on this show have I talked about mentoring and the power of mentoring? I saw that in my life. I saw that in my career when in my book I talk about rejection and how do you get to your destiny. And without having some of the mentors that I had along the way and the belief I had along the way, like he's saying, about dreaming big, I mean, I would never be there. And I always remember that that's such a privilege to talk to all of you, wherever you are, and whatever nook and cranny you're in right now and you're listening to me. I consider it, you know, a gift that I get to tell these stories of these authors and their books. And so Jan is another one of those people that you come across again that has no boundary, doesn't just lives in the present and is willing to go for it and not worry about whatever anything else is out there trying to contain what he's doing, which we see a lot of times with authors because they have this idea and they don't do it. But he did it. 40 years is a long time to have an idea, put it aside, say, I can't do it. And, you know, someone who couldn't write, somebody who couldn't read when he was a kid. So all things are possible, that's for sure. Thanks so much to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Remember to make it count, everybody. Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet. Stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.